Begin the current daf Masechtas Baba Kama daf Yud. Begin on the bottom of the Tesma base, 7 lines up from the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara continues with a related discussion from the previous daf. That is, we had in the Mishnah which said, "Kashachavti bishmirasai," whenever something that I'm responsible to safeguard, "Hechsharatis niskai," that means to say that if it ends up damaging, I had paved the way, I caused it because I wasn't careful in guarding it. Now the Gemara quoted a brisa that explained what would that case be talking about. So the Braisa made a contrast between Shor and Bar on the one hand, and Eish, which is if someone gives over these three mazikin to a chereshayt v'katan, someone that's not fully competent to safeguard it because they don't have das, the full intellect. So regarding Shor and Bar, we said that the person is going to be liable. In contrast to Eish, where you're not going to be liable. And the Gemara had two different interpretations depending on how you understand the liability is for fire. Either the reason why by fire you're exempt is because based on your own watching it, it would ultimately go out. It's just a coal. Or even when it's a flame, when it's a fire, but it's the actual action of the chereshayt v'katan that caused it to torch to end up burning something, in contrast to bar and shor by itself would have caused the damage. So therefore we see that it's a greater liability by your not watching it by shor and bar, in contrast to eish. And that's what the case of the Mishnah would be talking about. Now that's why Gemara continues with a related brisa talking about the contrast of different mazikim to each other regarding which are the stringencies that each one have over the other. Tana Rabbanan win the brisa. Chayme b'shayme b'bar. There's greater stringency regarding to the mazik of shor, which is specifically referring here to the mazik of keren, when it gores with its horns, than the mazik of bar, which is damage to a pit. And also, on the other hand, you also have a stringency that there is by the mazik of a pit, in contrast to that of Karen. As the Bryce explains, the stringency that there is relating to Karen over bar is shashur mishal mesakaifer. When an ox that's a muid, which had already done a few times, kills a full-fledged person that's a free person, not an evid, the owner of that ox has to pay kaifer, which is atonement money for the value of the person that was killed, which doesn't apply by bar. So too, if let's say he gores and harms a slave, so the owner of the ox has to pay the owner of the slave 30 silver coins. And nigmer dinoi asher b'hanah. If the ox gores and kills a person, so the pasuk says uval hasher naki, and the owner of the ox is clean. What does that mean, he's clean? Like somebody tells somebody else that this guy's cleaned out, which means to say that he can't have any hanah from that shor that gored a person. He's forbidden to have hanah. And v'darkat leilich lahazik. Moreover, a shor is a type of a mazik that it goes, it has motion and goes to damage. Mashein kim b'bar, which the mazik of bar doesn't have any of these stringencies, because as Rashi points out, that the owner of a pit, if a person falls into the pit and dies or anything happens to it, actually the owner of the pit is totally exempt. Forget about paying kaifer, because as the Gemara learns elsewhere, it says that menafal shem is shor echamar, which shor tells you shor v'loy adam. If a person falls in, then there's no liability. So regarding all these things, kaifer, shleishim shel eved, being asabana doesn't apply to the pit, it doesn't become asabana like shor, and it doesn't move as a shor does. Those are stringencies shor has over bar. Now there are certain stringencies that the pit has over the ox. First of all, shabar tchilas asiyas l'nezik. The inception of a pit, when you make it, it is a hezik. It's a mazik. It's something that could cause damage from its very nature, in contrast to an ox, which could cause damage, but from its basic essence is not a mazik. And umud mitchilasai, also bar is mu'ud right away. You always pay nezik shalom, in contrast to a shor the first few times of Karen, it's not going to be considered mu'ud. Mashenke b'shor, where again these two things do not apply by shor. Right, so it continues as we continue on top of Yerim and Aleph. Chayme b'shor me b'esh. There are certain stringencies that ox, Karen has over fire. And chayme b'esh me b'shor are certain stringencies that apply by fire over ox. As the Bryce explains, chayme b'shor me b'esh, what are the stringencies that there is by Karen over fire? Ish ha'shor m'shalm kofer, as we explained before, that if he kills a person, he has to pay kofer. V'chai b'shleishim shalevet, if he kills a slave, he has to pay to the owner of the slave 30 silver coins. Nigmer din osabana, once the din is finished when he killed a person, so the shor ha'niskel, the ox, is forbidden to have any anah from. And moreover, and this is what we mentioned previously, which is why the Gemara is introducing this price, is musla chereshayt v'katan chayiv. Regarding a shor, when you give it over to a cheresh, which is a deaf mute or a mentally deranged or a minor person to watch it, then you're liable for the damage that shor is going to do. Mashenkin be'ish. Again, in contrast to fire, and that's what we had mentioned, where by fire, there's no liability for all these different things, where you don't have kofer, and because even though it kills a person, as Rashi points out, by fire, if it burns a person, you're not liable because he should have run away. And moreover, says Rashi, even if he couldn't have run away because, let's say, he was tied down, so, yeah, the one who made the fire is going to be liable, but he's not going to be liable for hezek, for damages. He's going to be liable for the death penalty, for killing a person. And because he's liable for the death penalty, so then there's what's called kimle b'drabmine. You can't get death penalty and monetary liabilities at the same time, as the Gemara explains later on, Perka Kainas, Tav Samach Avam Abeis. So therefore, fire doesn't have kaifer, and it doesn't have the shleishim shel eved, which is a unique halacha regarding shor shenagach, which regarding Karen, and hence there's no halacha of the fire being asur ana afterwards, and neither are you going to be liable, as we said in the previous braisa, in the previous stuff, regarding chereshay d'vakatan, you're going to be exempt. Now, chayim be'esh me'beshayin, as is a stringency that fire has over ox, isha esh mu'edis mitchilasa, that by fire, when it causes damage, from it, the first time that it damages, you have to pay the full damage, masha'inkim b'shar, which, again, as we're explaining it here, we're talking about shar means Karen, not chain and regal, and therefore, the first time by shar, it's not going to be mu'ed mitchilasa, that stringency fire has over shar. But as it continues, chayim be'esh me'bebar, there's a stringency that fire has over pit, v'chayim be'bar me'be'esh, and the stringency that pit has over fire. As the Brice explains, Chaim Ba'abar B'me'esh, the stringency that pit has over fire, is Shetchilas Asiyas L'Nezek. From its inception, it's made to cause damage. And we're in contrast to fire, where it could cause damage, but that's not what its inception is for. And moreover, which is again the same thing as we said before, Sher and Bar in contrast to fire, is Masul L'Cher Sher D'Vakat L'Chaim. If you give it over to L'Cher Sher D'Vakat, you're going to be liable. Mashegi B'esh, again in contrast to Esh, which, first of all, it's not Chilas Hasil Nazik, and if you give it over to Chereshad V'Katan, you're not going to be Chayv, again, either as it means according to Rish Lakish or B'yechanan, either if you give it over to him as a coal or even as a flame. Now, the Brazik continues and says, Chayim Be'esh Me'babar. Now, the stringency that fire has over pit is She'esh Darker Leilach L'Hasik, where it's something that it goes and it could cause damage, which makes it a more severe type of a mazik, because you have to make sure not just where it is, but it can go ahead and cause damage elsewhere. And moreover, ma'edis lechel, it's considered a mu'ed, which means say there's going to be liability for the mazik of fire to consume bein davar haro'loi, whether it's something that it's fit for fire to consume. There are certain things that are generally used as fuel for fire. Uvein davar she'en haro'loi, whether something that's not even fit for it to consume, which Gemara later on is going to explain, which is in reference to kalim, where it's not usually that you fuel a fire with utensils. But when it does consume it as a mazik, you're going to be liable even on that, mashenki mebar, which does not apply by bar. First of all, it does not move. And moreover, by bar, you're patur on kalim, you're going to be exempt. And therefore, that's the stringency of fire over pit. Now, the Gemara asks, that's the end of the brisa. But why is that the totally exhaustive list? There's another case that the Brisa could have said in contrasting one mazik to the other about what stringencies it has. It could have said, there's a stringency that has Karen over Bar. Why? Shashar chayiv b'yisa kelim, because by the ox, by Karen, there's a liability for causing damage to utensils. Where if, let's say, it breaks it by goring it or stepping in it, which if it's doing it with the intention to break it, which that's a telada of Karen, which is kavanas lahazik, where there's going to be liability, masha'inkim bebar, whereas we just explained that by pit, you're exempt on kalim. So why didn't they say that case? So the Gemara answers, no, Haman, Rabbi Huda, who is the town of the Brice? It's going like Rabbi Huda, demechayv on this kalim bebar. He actually said that there is liability, there's only an exemption of Adam. But by kalim, he actually holds that you are going to be chayv in the case of bar, which this machlik is Rabbi Rabbanan, is brought later on, Perek Shor Shenagach, on Daf Nun Gimel Mabez. Now, the Gemara asks, wait a second, Rabbi Yehuda, if you tell me the time of the Brisa like Rabbi Yehuda, Eima Seifa, let's look at the end of the Brisa, which is what we just quoted. We said, Chayma Be'esh Mebebar, there are certain stringencies that fire has over the case of the pit. What is it? First of all, She'esh Darka Leilach L'Hazik, where fire goes and causes damage, in contrast to pit, it could only cause damage where it is. And we said, Mu'edis Lechel, it's also considered mu'ed, there's a liability of the full damage from fire, Bein dava roloi or bein dava shein roloi, whether it's consuming something which is fit for fire to generally consume, and even if it's something that's not generally fit to consume, but if it did, you're going to be liable. Masha'in ki bebar, which does not apply to by bar. So the Gemara explains, dava rola maininu. What is it that we're saying normally fire should be consuming? Let's eat some wood. That's how you usually make a fire. Dava shein rola maininu. What are things that you don't usually make a fire with, but we're saying there's going to be liability anyway? Kalim, are when it consumes clothing, cars, something, utensils. Masha'in came bebar, in contrast to a pit. Now, Rabbi Yehuda, if the way you're answering the Gemara's question, that the reason why I didn't say chayim b'shayim bebar regarding kalim is because the Brisa is going like Rabbi Yehuda holds actually bar also has the liability for kalim. Ha'amrit, but you said machayv ha'Rabbi Yehuda on niski kalim bebar. Rabbi Yehuda holds that there is a liability of niski kalim bebar. So how can you say one of the stringency of chayim b'eish mebebar is that eish is chayv on what's roloi and what's ain't a roloi, which means to say even on kalim mashen ki bebar. What do you mean mashen ki bebar? You're saying it's like a Yehuda who holds that there is a liability by bar even by kalim too. So Ella Rather Gemara says la'ilam rabbani. You have to say that the Tana of the Braisa obviously is like Rabban, not like Rabbi Yehuda. And that's why there is a chayma of Esha v'bar, because bar is exempt by kalim. Now, but then the question was, and then why didn't it say chayma b'shem v'bar, where shur has a liability about kalim and bar does not? That says the Gemara of a Tana v'shayr. You're right, we learned certain cases, but we didn't say the whole exhaust. We left over, there are other cases we could have contrasted, and therefore we left this one out. So the Gemara asked, my shayr, the high shayr. What else was left out that we left this out too? Which the Gemara always says that if you're leaving something out, you wouldn't leave just one thing out. If there's more, we can't see everything. So it has to be at least two things. What else was left out? And you're saying we left out this case? Says the Gemara, Shayr Taman, that there's the it could have said Chayme b'shur and bar over Eish. Why? Because if let's say an ox kicks on a sack that's full with utensils and it breaks the utensils inside the sackcloth, so there's a liability by shur. Or if, let's say, a donkey falls into a pit, and on it had a sack full of grain, which then that what was inside the sack all got ruined. So there's a liability, where even though it's hidden, it's covered inside the sackcloth, there's still a liability by shur and bur. In contrast to eish, with the Gemara later on, the Samach Amar Alf explains to us, we learn that from the words oy hakama, which has to be similar to the kama, the standing grain, which is something out in the open, revealed. But fire would not be liable if it's hidden, if it's covered by something. Where if it's in the sackcloth, the fire that burns it would not be liable, the balo eish. So says the Gemara, that's another case that was left out. It didn't say chayim b'shem bar over eish in regards to the case of Taman. So that's one approach how to answer the question. Well, yeah, we didn't say every case. Iboy same, or if the Gemara says, if you want, you could say, loyalim Rabbi Yehuda. Truthfully, the Tana of the Braisa, so we could say, is Rabbi Yehuda. Which, therefore, that answers the question, why didn't we say chaymer of shor over bar regards to kalim? Because I'm not sure, that's not a stringency, because actually bar is also chayv on kalim. But then the question was, wait a second, look at the end of the Braisa. The Braisa seemingly says clearly, chaymer ba'esh over bar is that ba'esh, you chayv even ain't a rola, which is kalim, mashayin ki bar. But how can you say mashayin ki bar if you're saying it's going like Yehuda holds that there's actually a liability by bar by kalim too? So that thing more explains, b'dava shein a rola, when it says that there's a liability by fire for something which is not fit for it normally, which does not apply by bar, lav la suyi kalim, that's not coming to include kalim, because you're right, that wouldn't be a stringency of fire over bar, because we're saying it's like a behuda. Ela la suyi lichecha niroi b'sichsech avanav. Rather, it's coming to include when it scorches the plowed field and scorches the rocks. Where the reason why, as Tais explains, that would be masha'enki mebar, is because by bar, it cannot cause damage to scorching a plowed field or rocks, because it's just regarding things that fall in it. It doesn't do that type of a damage. And therefore, that's something that in the roloi, which is not normally what fire does, fire usually consumes something, and here it's just scorching something, that's something that applies by eish versus by bar. But you're right, it's not regards to kalim, because actually kalim would be chayav by bar, just like eish and just like by shur. So, however, the Gemara continues to ask, it says, Maskevel Ravashi, listening chayme b'shayme b'bar. But then, if we're not going like Drabbanan, so okay, we could have said many more cases. But Tana b'shayer. But now, according to the second approach of the Gemara, we were saying, no, nothing was left out. Oh, you want to know why we say chayme b'shayme b'bar? Because it's not as stringent that Shur has over bar, but it's also chayme kalim. But what do you mean? What's with she'ina rola of Eish? Oh, that's a different case of lichecha niri v'sichsecha avanav that only applies to Eish and not by bar. So the Gemara then says, ask, you tell me nothing was left out? Well, listening b'chayme b'shayme b'bar, we could have said a different stringency that an ox, Karen, has over bar. Shashar, chiyev b'yishar, p'suli ha-mikdashin, because by Karen, there's a liability. Let's say something had a carbon that became possible. It became invalid, and he can't bring it on the Mizbeach anymore. So what the person does is that he redeems it, and then they could use it for his own needs. Now, such a carbon is called p'suli ha-mikdashin. Those things which are kodesh that became invalid. Now, regarding shor hamazik, let's say this guy has his psulim hamikdash and his carbon that he couldn't use anymore, but he could use it now for his own personal needs. Suddenly, his friend's ox come and gores his psulim hamikdash. So that person is liable. Masha ein kein bebar, which does not apply by bar, and that is because, again, if this carbon was redeemed and it fell into someone's pit, the bal habar, the owner of the pit, is going to be exempt. Why? Because the pasuk says in Shmos Chaf Aleph, bal habar yishalom, the owner of the pit has to pay for the damages that was done to his fellow's ox that fell into his pit. And the pasuk says, v'ameis yaloi, the animal carcass will be for him, which means to say that that the nizik takes the corpse, and then the mazik has to compensate the rest. Now, that excludes, it's only if the hameis yaloi, if the dead animal carcass can still be maintained and utilized by the nizik. But if, let's say, the corpse is not his, then there's no v'ameis yaloi, so no v'ameis yaloi, then there's no balabar yishalom. Because although, as we explained, that this carbon was redeemed, but if it dies, he has no utility for it because he cannot give it to dogs as one would normally do with a dead animal carcass. As the Gemara says in Maseches Becharis Daf Tesvav Min Aleph, the pasuk that talks about psulei mekdashin says certain words that you could do with it, which the Gemara there is medayik in inference is what you cannot do with it. It says you could be tizbach, you could slaughter it for yourself, but you can't share the wool. You can use the meat, basar, but you can't take the milk. You could be v'achalt, you could eat it, but you can't give it to your dogs. Now, so therefore, by bar, the bal bar is going to be exempt because there's no v'ameis yaloi. The dead animal carcass does not belong to the owner of it because he can't use it. In contrast to when a shor shenagach, when the ox gores his psulei mekdashin, he's going to be liable because the pasuk, all it says to make liable the shor hamazik is that if he's going to gore shor re'ehu, the ox of his friend, since it was redeemed, it's not anymore that of Hekdash, he owns it now, so it's called shor re'ehu. Now Rashi points out very importantly, although by Shor HaMazik it also says the words Vamesi Eloi, so it sounds like only if the Mesi is going to be his and it's not going to be his, like we said regarding Psulei Mekdashin, you can't do anything with it because you can't give it to the dogs. The Gemara says later on Amud Beis, that those words Vamesi Eloi is not coming to tell us that it's going to be his afterwards. Rather, that tells us a different halacha of what's called Baila Metaplin B'Nevela. Just that he has to take care of it, and the mazik doesn't have to pay for that amount of the worth of the nevela. But it's not coming to tell you that he has to own it, and that it has to be his afterwards, and therefore, by shor, you're going to be chayiv, in contrast to bar. So the Gemara asks, why didn't we say that case of psulei mekdashin of chayim b'shor over bar? So the Gemara says, as we said before, if you say the Tana, the Brayis is like Rabbanan, so I did the Shire Hach. So once we left over those cases we mentioned before of Tamin, which was a stringency that applied by Chaymer of Shire and Bar over that of Eish, or the case of Kalim, which we said is a Chaymer of Shire over Bar. So we left over cases. So Shire Namahach. So yeah, we would leave over this case too. Eli Iyamet Rabbi Yehuda, but if you say the Tana, the Brayis like Rabbi Yehuda, who you explained, there's nothing left over, because actually Kalim is Chayiv and Bar, and actually Tamin is Chayiv by Eish according to Rabbi Yehuda. So neither those are none of those are cases of stringencies of one of the other. So then the question is, my Shire, the High Shire. Obviously, this is a case of Chayim B'Shayim B'Bar, which is left out. So what else was left out? Because there has to be at least more than one thing left over, because or else we wouldn't have left that one out. So it explains the Gemara, according to Behudi, you would have to say Shire Dosh B'Niroi. What other case is left out is regarding if an ox tramples, if he threshes the plowed field of the other person, and his intention is to step on it, because oxen are learned in how to thresh and step on things because they want them to do the threshing. So he goes and he does that to the other person's plowed field, and he pounds it and pounds it. Where that's the telad, it's the derivative of Karen, because his intention is to cause damage. He wants to go ahead and smash that plowed field. Now, in such a case, the owner has to pay the value of the plowing, which was ruined, in contrast to bar. Why? As we said, there's similar svara from Taisus before, is because you can't have land cause damage to land. A pit is land. It doesn't move. It cannot smash another person's land. So therefore, that would be another case which was left out of Chaim B'Shar Mibabar in regards to Dash B'Nira. Now, on that, the Gemara rejects that. Imishum Dash B'Nira, says the Gemara, if you want to say, to explain how the Tana of the Braise can be like a Behuda, because, but then what do we do with one stringency over here of Chaim B'Shar Mibabar regarding Psulei Mekdashin that was for sure left out? What else was left out? You're saying is Dash B'Nira, says the Gemara, Lav Shiyuruhu, that can't be called left out to say that's the second thing left out. Because the Hatana, this was already learned explicitly in the Brais already, in regards to Shar, where it said, Shkindarke Leilech Ulahazik, it already mentioned that what's the Derech of Shar, of Karen, that it goes and it causes damage, which includes all types of damages, which that's not applicable regards to bar. That already tells us that stringency. This of dash ben niroi, that only applies to shur, not by bar. Why? Why does it only apply by shur, not by bar? Because a shur can move and could go to someone else's land and cause damage. A bar can't move. This land cannot cause damage to that land. So that was already included. And therefore the Gemara says it would be difficult to explain how the Tan and the Braisa could be like a Behuda, because then we only find one thing left out, and we don't say that a Tan of a Braisa leaves one thing out, and you can't say the second thing is Dash Benir, because that's already included in Darki Leila Chahazik of Shur over Bar. And therefore the Gemara ends off seemingly that the only way you could interpret it is like Drabanan, and yes, the Tan of Bishai, there are other things that were left out, which weren't mentioned in Chaymer of this over the other one. Now the Gemara resumes discussing our Mishnah that said, there are cases of Echsharti b'miktsas niskai, where I prepared only part of the damage, yet, chavti b'tashlumi niskai, I'm going to be liable to pay up all the damages. So the Gemara explains in the Braisa how and why that would be. Tanya Rabban, learn the Braisa. Echsharti b'miktsas niskai, although I only prepared and was a cause of part of the damage, chavti b'tashlumi niskai, I'm going to be liable for the payment of the damage, k'echshar kol niskai, as if I prepared all the damages. So says the Braisa, Ketzat, what case would that be talking about? Says the Braisa, HaChayfer Bar Tisha. It's talking about if someone digs a pit 9 Tvachim deep. Uboachar Vishlim El Asara. Now another guy comes along and digs 1 Tefach more, making it into a pit of 10 Tvachim, which is only Miktsas Niskai. He only dug 1 Tefach. HaAchar In Chayef, says the Braisa, the last guy is going to be liable whether the ox that falls and dies, or whether that it gets damaged, which the Gemara later on learns some sukkim in Perek Shur Shenaga Chasapara, regarding it's the last one that has a liability. So says the Braisa, that's the case where although you only prepared part of it, you only dug 1 tefach, but you're the one that turned it in from 9 tefachim to 10 tefachim, you're the one that's going to be liable now for all the damages. Now says the Gemara, would like Rebbe. That's not like Rebbe. The time like learn the Braisa. This case, HaChayfa Bar Tisha, someone digs a pit 9 tefachim deep. Now, the second guy comes along and digs it 1 tefach more to make it into 10 tefachim. Says the Braisa, Achren Chayef. So the last one's going to be liable, like the Tan of the Braisa we brought before. But Rebbe, he disagrees. Says, no, Achren Lemisa. We go based on the second guy regarding death, and that is if the ox falls and then dies, then the first guy is not going to pay anything, because as we explained in the previous daf, 9 tefachim Chazal evaluated could not cause death. It's not supposed to cause death. So the second guy, although he dug 1 tefach, yes, but he was the cause of death, so he's liable. But achar shneim l'nizakin, he disagrees regarding damages. If the ox falls and only gets hurt and then doesn't die, then Rebbe holds that actually both of them have to pay. So says the Gemara that the Tan of our Mishnah, which is being explained by this Braisa, is going like the Chacham, not like Rebbe, because Rebbe holds, although the second one did part of the cause of the damage, which is only 1 tefach, the Tana of the Braisa, which says that the second guy is going to be chayav for all of it, is not like Rebbe, who says that actually both of them share in the responsibility of the damages. Now, Rav Papa, he says, no, our Mishnah that said that it's kehechsher kol niskai, that you're going to be liable for all of it, that only the last guy is going to be liable, is tomat lemisa, is tomat where the ox that falls and dies, and therefore, v'divrei hakol. Therefore, says Rav Papa, you could say that the Tana of Mishnah is going even like Rebbe, because when it says that the last one is the one that's responsible for all of it, it means for the death. But you're right, for damages, the Tana of Mishnah would agree, like Rebbe, that it would be both of them that's responsible, the one who dug 9 tefachim and the second guy who dug 1 tefach. That's one version of this discussion. Ikud Ami, that those say a different version of how the discussion went, that the question was, Lemi de Leki Rebbe? Should we say that the Tana of Mishnah is not like Rebbe? And that Amr Papa, he said, no, Lemisa v'divrei hakol. No, it could be even like Rebbe, because the Mishnah is talking about regarding death. That is according to everybody, even according to Rebbe, that's the second guy, although he only dug 1 tefach, he's going to be liable for the whole damage of the death of the ox. So that's what the Braisa says to explain the case of a Mishnah, where although you only did part of the cause of the damage, you're liable for all of the damage. Now, that the Gemara asks, Maskevler Abzeri, says, Vesuleka? There are no other cases that the Braisa could have said, that which are, although you only prepared some of it, it's kehechsher kol niskai, it's like as if you prepared and caused all the damages? But you could say other cases that if, let's say, would happen, Masa Shari Lechamishim the Adam. Let's say a person would give over to 5 custodians to watch his ox. Upasha by Echad Mehen Vehizig. Now, one of the watchmen, one of his custodians, was negligent. He didn't watch it appropriately, and the ox caused damage. We're Chayiv. where then, as the Gemara is asking, from logic, Reb Zeir is asking, which it's not a Mishnah or a Braisa that he's asking from, but logically, seemingly would seem that that custodian, since he was the one negligent, would be liable for the damage, although he's only 1/5 of the watching. So you see seemingly a case that the Braisa could have said to explain that Mishnah, where the only machshir miktsas nezik, he's chayef for tashlumi kol nezik. So that the Gemara says, no, that couldn't have been the case. Because, hey, chedami, what would the case be talking about? If you say that without this fifth watchman who was not doing his job and watching, it would not have been watched, what does that mean? For example, let's say it's a very, very wild ox, and it takes 5 watchmen to watch it. 4 would not do the job. So then says the Gemara Peshitta, what do you mean? It's obvious, the ihu ka'avit, that obviously this fifth watchman who wasn't watching was the cause of the damage. In other words, it wouldn't be a case of echshati b'miktas niskay. It would be kol niskay, because you're the fifth guy, you're one link. It's like opening up the fence and by opening up one link, but all the other links are there, but you caused the whole damage. Because as Rashi explains, this wouldn't be similar to the case of the second guy who digs one more tefach to make it into 10 tefachim, because although we say that the one who digs 9 tefachim doesn't cause anything regarding death, but regarding damages, he does cause. And therefore, he is assisting somewhat regarding the second guy in the death of the animal, because it's a buildup of being hurt and then being maimed and then being and then dying. So therefore, that explains Rashi was necessary for our Mishnah, as the Braisa explained, to say that the second guy is going to be liable. Because although regarding death, what do you mean? Of course he's going to be liable. You can't cause death in 9 tefachim. But the 9 tefachim do assist somewhat in regards to the cause of the damage of the ox, thus working your way towards the death process of then ultimately being killed. So that was necessary to say, it's like you did only part of it, the last guy, but you're going to be liable for the whole thing. Here, the Gemara is asking, what do you mean? The second guy in this case, if it were Adam, it wouldn't be watched. He's causing all the damage, not just part of the damage. So, Elo, rather, what would you say? No, the Balavi Yunami Minter, that without him, it could be watched. Then my covenant. Then the Gemara says, then what did he do? In other words, then he shouldn't be liable for anything. So how could this be a case that you're asking that it should be as if you did prepared only part of it, and then you're liable for all of it? Either way you look at it, either that he really did everything, and therefore it's obvious and we wouldn't have to say it, or actually he shouldn't be liable because without him it should be watched. So the fact that he didn't watch, he didn't cause any of the damage because there were 4 other watchmen who could do a good enough job even without him. So the Gemara continues asking. Maskevler Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes asks. He says, what do you mean? Vo'ikka marbe b'chavile. He says, I could tell you another case that the Braisa could explain. In the case where somebody adds on branches to his fire's friend. His friend's fire. His friend has a bonfire and he adds more and more and more firewood to it. Now, because of that, it makes it come closer to his friend's silo, his friend's crop, and thus causes the fire to consume that person's crop. Where that seemingly would be logical to say that the last one who added more caused it, but he only caused some of it because the fire there was already existing up until then, and he would be liable, not the first one. So why wouldn't that be considered a case of preparing only part of it, like the bar of Tess, and then adding on the 10th here also, the fire was there, he's adding up a little more. But since he caused it, he'd be liable. So the Gemara says, no, hey, chedami, what would the case be talking about? As we continue on Tamid Beis. If without him the fire would not go, it wouldn't have gone to consume the other person's grain. Well, pshita, then obvious that the second guy who added on the branch is going to be liable. And that is why would we have to say that in the Mishnah? Because the first guy didn't assist anything whatsoever. Because as Rashi points out, regarding a fire, if he would have left it, it would have just gone out, dimming and dimming and dimming, gone out. In contrast, again, as Rashi points out, regarding the case that the Braisa does explain for our Mishnah, where the first guy dug 9 tefachim, the majority of the death was already done. You just can't die in 9 tefachim. But death is not an absolute all or nothing. There's a process to that. So the last guy was the one that threw it over the top, but the first guy assisted towards. So that could be considered hechsher miktsas nizkar of the last guy, but still going to cause him liability for everything. But in the case that we're describing, if without him nothing would have been done, and he with his new branches is causing it, of course, he's doing kol nezik, not just miktsas nezik. So Ella, rather, what would you say? The belav iu azla. No, even without him, the fire would have gone. Well, then my covenant, what is the second guy doing? Why should he be liable? It's not him that's doing it. It would have gone anyway based on the first guy's fire. So therefore, that can't be a case of being machshir miktsas nizkay to be chayiv on teshlumi kol nezik. But the Gemara continues asking. Master of the Rav Papa asks, but v'ikod the Tanya, Similarly, you have a case of a braisa that says clearly a case of when someone prepared mikzas nezkai and it's chayv on tishul mikala nezik. As the braisa says, hey sheyashvu al savsel echad b'lo shavru. There's five people sitting on the bench and they're not breaking it. Now a sixth guy comes along and sits in it and he breaks the bench. Says the braisa, the last guy is liable for the damages to the bench. Now, Amar Papa, he explained, came Papa Bar Abba. It's talking about, for example, like Papa Bar Abba, which Rashi points out that he was a heavy set individual, which as the Rishonim explained, that's because of that it shouldn't be considered like Mesa Machmas Malacha, which is the normative use for a bench, is that people sit in it. And therefore, you shouldn't be liable if you're allowed to sit there if it ends up breaking. But someone that's very heavy, it's not the norm, and therefore, that's something where it should have been expected that he would be breaking it, and therefore, if he does sit in it, it's going to be breaking it. But either way, the case of the Bryce is talking about, where you have somebody that's just the sixth person, and he's only there for cause, he's only part of the weight, even if he's very heavy, there's other people there, and yet he's chayiv for all the damages himself. So why isn't that a case that the Bryce could have said to explain the halach of our Mishnah? So the Gemara says, no, hechadami, what would the case be talking about? Ile medebalavi yuloyit, for if you're telling me without him it wouldn't have broken, well then pshita. Obviously, you can't compare this to the case that the Bryce is bringing down for the halach of our Mishnah of a pit, where the first guy causes at least damages to the ox of 9 tfachim. So again, as we said, that's like he's killing half or the majority of the ox. It's just not a total death. Now, but the reason why we're saying that he's going to be exempt, because he could tell the second guy who dug that extra tefach, he says, look, if not for you, the ox would not have died. It would have just become damaged. So therefore, you're liable, even though you're only doing part of it, but essentially, you're the one that's really causing it to die, not to get damaged. But in the case of this braisa, the first guys didn't cause any damage. As long as the sixth guy wouldn't have came, nothing would have happened. We would have sat, and you're the guy that caused it all. So that's obvious. That's hechshir kala nezik. That's not hechshir miktas nezkai. So, Ella, rather, what are you going to say? Debalavi yunami itfa, that even with Adam, it would have broken. And again, my covet. What's the sixth guy doing? Why should he be liable? You guys would have broken without me. Why should he be liable? So therefore, the Gemara says that couldn't be a case either of being machshir miktas nizkei to be chayv on kala nezik. But then the Gemara asks, saif, so at the end of the day, masnita, this braisa that Rapapa quoted of the case of the bench, sehecha mitarza. So how do you resolve it? In other words, since you just asked on the case of the braisa saying, why is the last guy liable? In other words, whichever case you described it, either it's unnecessary to say it as halacha, because it's obvious, because he's the one doing all the damage. And if you're saying it's without him, it would have happened anyway, so then why should he be liable? So then how do we understand the braisa? What is the braisa itself saying? The braisa doesn't make sense. Either, what's the case? If without him it would have happened, then he shouldn't be liable. If without him it wouldn't have happened, then what do we need the braisa for? Of course he's going to be chayv. Because as Rashi points out, in contrast to the first cases that the Gemara was asking from, when he gives over his ox, or when he adds on firewood to the fire, those weren't braises. Those, as we said, those were just the Amayram asking from logic. Seemingly, those are cases of Miktas Nezik, where he's chayv for Kala Nezik, which Gemara said, no, those are not good cases. But here you have a braisa. What is the braisa talking about, if not a case of Mechshir Miktas Nezik, that you chayv for Kala Nezik, which we're saying that's not the case? So the Gemara says, Lo Yitzricha. The case of the braisa is talking about, the Balav Ihu have a mitzvah betreshai. Without this sixth person, the bench would have broken in 2 hours. It could only take a certain amount of weight. Now, that's why the Bryce had to say this halacha, to tell you that even so, this sixth guy who ends up sitting in it is going to be liable. Why? Because Vahashta, now that the sixth person sat on it, itfer b'chadasha, instead of breaking in 2 hours, it broke in 1 hour. Where the Amrilei, they would tell him, ilav at, if not for you, we would have sat a little bit longer, and then we would have gotten up before the sixth hour. And therefore, we're here the case that it's talking about is, yes, he's causing all the damage, because without you, we would have gotten up, and no damage would have happened. So then the question was, why does the Bryce have to say halacha, that obviously he's causing all the damage, he's chayv, of course. And I was saying, no, it's not so obvious. Because here what we're talking about is, it would have broken without him, but not in that amount of time. And therefore, that answers how do we understand the braisa. At the same time, why that's not like Rav Papa had asked to be added on to the case that the braisa says of when someone digs a pit that it should be considered hechsher b'miktzas nizkai of the Mishnah, where then you chayev for kol hanezek. Because as we said, this is not a case of miktzas nezek. it's all the damages because the first guy sitting on the bench didn't start the breaking process until it would have been 2 hours. So therefore, it's not like the case of when someone digs a pit 9 tefachim, which already he started the death process somewhat with the space, the air of the pit, 9 tefachim, already has a certain element of danger to it, where then it's the one who digs the 10th tefach who does the final step and does it. So then you would consider the one who dug the 10th tefach as only being makshir mikzas in this guy, but since he took it over the top, he's going to be chayiv for kol hanezek, in contrast to the case of the brayis, is considered hechsher kol hanezek, but still there's a chiddush in saying it, because although they would have caused the damage, it wouldn't have happened after an hour. Now, however, the Gemara asks, but leim lehu, let him tell them, the way you just described the case of this last brayis of Rapapa, ilav atun bedidi, if you five people wouldn't have been with me, if I, by myself, lo have a mitzvah, it wouldn't have broken. In other words, you guys, when I sat down, you should have gotten up. You're not getting up is, although it's a passive, but it's an act where you're breaking it just like me. Now, whereas Rashi points out, in contrast to the case of when someone digs the 10th tefach, you can't say the same question, because what should the first guy have done? He maybe could fill it up, but that would be an active thing. But here, they're sitting there is an act where by sitting there, you are actively breaking it with me. Here, he already dug the 9th tefachim. Already was done. It's not actively being dug every second. So there, that's done. Therefore, yeah, the second guy is going to be liable because he did the last tefach. But here, the Gemara asks, let the last guy say, what are you saying? You're saying that it would have broken after 1 hour, 2 hours instead of 1 hour. So you're saying that after it breaks after 1 hour, it's only my fault? It's not only my fault, because you guys were sitting too. You're right, I'm adding some weight. But you guys should have gotten up. You're not getting up. It's an act of sitting, and that act of sitting is breaking just like me. Why am I the only guy liable, as the Bryce has said? So I think Mar says, Loi Tzricha. The case that the Bryce is talking about, as the Mefarshim, the Hagoyis HaGrohan, the side explained that the way Rashi's saying it, it's actually going back on the previous Gemara's question too. As Rashi says, truthfully is that it's talking about that without him, it wouldn't have broken at all. Not even after 2 hours. So then the question that we had asked was, well then that's pretty obvious. Why would we need a Bryce to teach this halacha? And that's what the Gemara is saying, that it's necessary. Because it's not talking about that the sixth guy just sat also on the bench. Rather, he's standing on his feet and he's leaning on them. Which, as the Gemara explained, the Bahadi de Samach Bahu, because during that time when he's leaning on them and he doesn't let them get up, Tavar, so then it broke. So the Gemara says Peshito. So that's still obvious. What do you mean? It's his cause, they can't even get up. So it's all him. So what's the necessity of saying that he's going to be chayiv? I think Gemara says, Maudu Tema Koichalav Kagufoy Dami. You would think that maybe his force is not like his body, because even when you say what a person causes damage, it's always really with his koich, his force. But it's done with his force and his body. Here, although it's his force, but it's not his force and his body causing the damage, because it's their body on the bench. It's just his force keeping them on the bench. You might have said that maybe that's not like his body, and therefore he wouldn't be liable. Kamash Malan, the Koyche Kagufa Dami, that's teaching us that no, his force is like his body, where the Cholhecha, the Gufi Tavar, wherever it is that his body would break it, Koyche Nami Tavar, his force is also breaking it, and therefore Koyche is Kagufoy, and that's the Chiddush of the Braisa, teaching us that it is him and only him, therefore he can't say the claim as the second Gemara, as the second question in the Gemara was, what do you mean? You should have gotten up. They couldn't have gotten up. He was leaning on them. And that also addresses the Gemara's first question, where although, yes, without him nothing would have happened, still it was necessary to say the Chiddush, because it's not that his own body was on the bench, it was his force of his body holding them down, where Koicha is Kagufa, and that's why he's going to be liable. But again, that's why it wasn't mentioned in the case of the Braisa to explain the Halacha of Mishnah, because it's not Hechsher Mikzas Nizkai, it's Hechsher Kol HaNezek. Now the Gemara resumes asking questions on the Braisa. The Suleka, are there no other cases of someone preparing part of the damages and being liable on all of it? But Ve'ikoh HaDetanya, you have the following case in the Braisa. The Braisa says, Hikuhu asar b'nei adam be'eser maklis. If 10 people hit somebody with 10 sticks, be'mebas achas, be'mezacharzeh, whether it was at the same time or whether one after another, u'meis, and then that individual died, says the Tanna Kamma, kulam paturin, they're all going to be exempt from the death penalty for killing somebody, because you don't really know through whom was it that this person was killed. Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseya, I mean, he disagrees. He says, be'zacharzeh ha'achron chayiv. If it was one after another, the last guy to give the hit is going to be liable. Why? Because he's the one that brought the death ultimately to its completion. Where this machlekes Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseh and the Rabbanan is brought in Masechta Sanhedrin of Ayin Chesem and Aleph, where Rabbi Yehuda interprets the pasuk that says Ki Yakol Kol Nefesh Adam. The pasuk says when anyone will hit and kill a person, which when it says Kol Nefesh, he learns it means to say Kol Duhu Nefesh, any part of the person's life blood that he still has. If you take that away and it causes the death, that creates a liability. So the last guy, he got that last bit. Yeah, the guy was basically almost a dead guy, and the last guy gives a whack and he dies. You got that Kol Duhu Nefesh, which caused the death. He holds that person going to be liable. Whereas Rabban hold that no, Kol Nefesh means the whole soul. The last guy only did part of it because the other guys had already taken 9/10 of his life away, so that last guy is not going to be liable. So the Gemara is asking, that's a case of a chshar to be mixas niska. The last guy is really only doing part of the damage, which is similar to the case of digging the pit, where the first guy caused 9 tfachim worth, which would cause damage, and the last guy did the last bit, which would, the 10th tefach, which would kill him. So, ask the Gemara, why wasn't this counted, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseh's halacha, of echshar to mixas niska, and being chayv on kol hanezek? So that the Gemara says, b'ktala lo kemari. Our Mishnah wasn't talking about when the mazik, when the damage is going to be liable for the death penalty. We're only talking about paying monetary damages when something happens. Here it would be the death penalty. We weren't talking about that. And therefore the Brisa didn't say that as a case. Or if you want, you could say, Beplukta like Kimari. We didn't want to say cases of Machlekes. That's only like Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseh. The Rabbanim disagree. They don't hold the last guy's liable. And therefore it wouldn't be a good case, according to everybody, of Hechsher Mikzaz Neshke to be Chayv and Kala Nezek. On that, the Gemara says, Loi, we don't talk about Machlekes. But Vokimnin Dolei Rebbe, we just said on Amen Aleph that the case of the Brisa itself that's saying the case of our Mishnah is not like Rebbe. Because actually we said according to Rebbe, the second guy is not going to be liable for the damages himself. It's only regarding death. But we said regarding damages, Rebbe says that both of them are going to be chayiv. So you see that our case of the Brisa to explain the Mishnah is like a Machlekes. So I think Mar says, no, Dolei Rebbe Ukrabanan Mekmina. For it to be not like Rebbe and rather say like it's like the Rabbanan, that we would do, because the halacha is like the Rabbim. So that we would say that's the case of a Mishnah. But like Rabbanan, like Mekmina. But to say that it's like a Yachid, not like the Rabbim, like the Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseh, that we wouldn't say to pick a Machlekes, and that's why we didn't say that as a case of Hechsher Mixas Niskai to be Chayiv on Kol HaNezek. Now the Gemara continues explaining our Mishnah that said, so you could have a case of preparing part of the damages, but chafti b'tashlumi niske, but I'm liable to complete the damages that was done to the one who was damaged. Now the Gemara makes a diak, an inference in the wording of the Mishnah. Chafti b'niske le'katani. The Mishnah doesn't say that I'm liable in the damages, which that would have sounded like to say that if, let's say, he damaged a person's ox, he has to pay him up a full ox, and then he takes the dead animal carcass, the mazik, has to hold on to it, he has to give him back exactly what he damaged. Doesn't say that. Ele b'tashlumi niske. Rather, to complement the damage that was done. Which the word Hashlama sounds like, that actually the Nizik, the one who got damaged, he has to keep his dead animal carcass. Then the Mazik has to then compensate whatever value was lost. Let's say a live animal is worth 1,000 and the dead animal carcass is worth 200. So the Nizik keeps the 200 worth of the Nevela, and then he has to supplement the other 800. Says the Gemara, Tanin Lohad, the Tan Rabban. This supports what we learned in the Braisa. The Braisa says the words are always used are tashlumi nezik, which again sounds like a little word of hashlama, of being mashlim, to complement to the nizik what his damages was. Says the Braisa Malamid, this teaches us shabayla metaplim benevela, that the owner of the ox who got it damaged by the mazik's whatever was that damaged, let's say in the pit, he has to be busy with the corpse. In other words, he takes the dead animal carcass, and then it's just that the mazik has to compensate for the rest. So that halacha, the Gemara asks, where do we know that from? That he doesn't have to give him back a full-fledged ox, rather he has to only complement the difference of the nevela and when it was healthy and alive. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabami, says the Amakra, because the pasuk says in the Yikra, Maki Nefesh Behem, if somebody hits an animal and damages it, Yishalmena, so he has to pay for the damages. Says Rabami, Al Tikri Yishalmena, don't read it that he has to pay it up, Eliyashli Mena. Rather that he complements it. In other words, that he has to pay the rest, the difference between the damages that was done, but the animal carcass itself, the nizik holds on to. Rav Kahn Amar Mahachi brings a different source, a pasuk in Shemais. Pasuk says, Im taref yitaref, if the animal will be mauled, will be killed. If yehu aid, so the Shem Mesacha, the watchman, the custodian that's getting paid to watch, he brings witnesses. So he doesn't pay for the dead animal because that was beyond his liabilities as a shomer sachar. But the way Rav Kahana interprets the pasuk, he expounds it as follows: that it's imtarif yutarif hasharif. The ox is going to be mauled, which is through the negligence, the way he's interpreting, of the shomer sachar, of the one who's watching it. Because again, as we said, this pasuk is tumah shomer sachar, as the Gemara explains in Hashayil and Bamatzitz HaDidalam Abayz, that there's a few different parashas over there that talk about the obligations of a custodian. The second parasha is talking about a shomer sachar, a guy's getting paid to watch for it. So the way it's being interpreted here is, so the way it's normally translated is that an oinus, something beyond his control, a shomer sachar is exempt. So something that happens where a wolf comes and takes it where he couldn't have been aware of that, so then he's not going to have to pay. But the way we're interpreting it now is talking about not that it was an oinus, but rather it was something that was a negligence of the shomer sachar. So then he's going to have to pay. So the pasuk is saying, yivi'ehu eid ha-treifa, that it means to say, yivi'ehu ad ha-treifa, which means to say that you have to pay for the whole damages, ad treifa yishalom, up until the animal that was mauled itself, but treifa ad mo lo yishalom, but for the animal that was mauled itself, that he doesn't have to pay for, because that's teaching the halacha, that the nizik has to be busy and go through the effort of taking that dead animal carcass and selling it, and then the mazik only has to pay the difference. So again, the way that he's darshaning the pasuk teaches us this halacha to the Baal Metalim ben Avela. And Chizkiyah Mohachi brings a third source, pasuk in Shemais. Pasuk is in Perek Chafal of Pasuk Lam Avav, that talks about Oynoide Kishir Nagach, who is talking about Asher Hamuid, that a gore is already a few times. So the pasuk says, Shalom Yishalom Asher Techaz Asher, if a gore is another ox. So the owner of the ox that gored has to compensate the owner of the one that got gored. And the pasuk concludes, Vameis Yeloi, and the dead Asher will be for him. So says Chizkiyah, who's that for him? It's Lenizik, it's for the one who got damaged. He has to hold on to it, and the mazik just has to pay up the difference. And v'chein tonid be'chizkiyah, so too is taught in the braisa of the yeshiva of Chizkiyah. Vameis Yeloi, when it says in the pasuk that the corpse, the carcass will be for him, it's Lenizik, for the damaged party. Now, he explains, Ato'im Lenizik, do you say it's really for the Nizik? Oyein el mazik, how do you know? Maybe it's that the mazik has to hold on to it, and he has to give a full, brand new shor to the Nizik. That's his Chizkiyah Amrit Lekachaya. That you'd say that couldn't be. So the Gemara explains, my Lekachaya. What is Tan Bechizkiyah saying that can't be? So Mabaye explains, if you would entertain to say that when it says in the pasuk Vameis Yeloi, it's talking about whose loy, that the mazik has to take the carcass and give back a brand new shirt to the nizik, well then lichtebrachmon the shirt tachas hashav alishtik. Then the pasuk shouldn't have said these last words. It should have just said that he has to pay for him an ox in place of the ox that he gored, and it should have just ended. And then we would have known. What does it mean, shirt tachas hashav? It means a brand new ox instead of the ox that he damaged, and we would know that the mazik would have to hold on to the nevela. So what is the pasuk telling us when it ends up to say, and the carcass will be his? Shema Mino, the nizik, obviously we could tell you that it's coming to tell us that the nizik has to take that in lieu of payment, whatever the value of the nizik, of the damage is worth, and the mazik only has to pay up the rest, the difference of the damages. Now the Gemara says, v'tzricha, we brought three different sources for this halacha of Baal Metalim Nevela, that the nizik has to hold on to the carcass and get compensated for the rest. Why do we need all three sources? So the Gemara explains, if he only brought the first source regarding when the person harms and damages an animal, that he has to pay it up, which we said means yashlimeno, mishum delei shchicha, because that's something that's not so common that a person should come and damage another person's animal. So therefore, maybe over there the pasuk wasn't so stringent with the person that he, the mazik, should have to go through the effort of selling the nevela to be able to pay up all the damages that he caused for the nizik. Aval treifa, but regarding the second case, regarding a shomer sachar, where then an animal comes along and mauls the animal that he's supposed to be watching, the shchicha, that's something that's very common, because you're watching an animal, you take it out to graze and the pasture, and then there are wild animals that could come out and cause damage, emalai. Maybe they were something that's common. Maybe we would say that the Torah would hold you liable as a mazik to pay up and actually take the nevela yourself. Shchicha, that's why it's necessary to say that source. Now, v'yashmin the treifa, had we only said the second source of the treifa, of the shomer sachar, mishum de memela, because maybe over there the Torah said that you're going to be exempt as a mazik from taking the nevela, because it's something that happens by itself. The wolf comes along and mauls the animal. Now, the custodian didn't do it intentionally. So maybe, therefore, the Torah was leaning on him and said, okay, so you're not going to have to go through the effort of taking the nevela and then compensating him for a whole brand new shar. avamake behemah de biyadayim. But regarding the first case, when somebody harms an animal, where he does it with his hands, and that's how he's harming the animal, emoloi, maybe there we would say, no, it would be the mazik who would be responsible for going through the effort of the nevela and paying up full damages and not just having to just compensate the rest. That's what Kamash Mon, that's right to say the first source too. Now, v'yesh min ha'nitarti, had we only said these first two sources, then I would have said, because each one has its own reasons why the Torah is lenient with it, that the mazik doesn't have to take the nevela. However, regarding the case of makeh behemah, as mishum delei shechichah, it's not so common that a person would come and just harm someone else's animal. So that's why the Torah is lenient on him. And v'hover, regarding Hashem Esachah, when the animal that he's watching gets nitraf, is mishum nemela, because it happens by itself. So he didn't do it actively, therefore the Torah is lenient on him. Avavames yeloi, regarding the case of a shur shenagach, when the ox gores another person's ox, where the shechicha ubiyadayim, where you don't have either one of those leniencies. First of all, it's common for that to happen, and it's being done actively. In other words, with the shur, which is the money of the mazik, is intending to cause damage, which therefore it's being done actively. So we're calling that biyadayim. Moreover, it's something that's common that an ox, on some level, more than at least the case of a person causing damage, an ox doesn't have that much self-control and can definitely gore, emaloi. Maybe there I would say that the Torah would not be lenient on the mazik, and there he would have to take the nevel himself and give back a brand new shur to the nizik. That's why we have to say that source too. Now, v'yashmin ha-mesi alayin, how we only said this the third source, I would say mishum de-memayneka mazik. That's a case where the mazik, the owner, the human, didn't do the damage. His ox went and did the damage. So maybe because when his animal does it, we don't make him be liable to take the nevela too. Aval hacha the begufa mazik. But regarding the first two cases where the human himself is causing the damage, for sure in the case of makeh behemah when he does damage to the animal. Moreover, even in the case of a shem resachar, when the custodian was negligent, and because of his negligence, the wolf came and ate up and caused damage to the animal, so that would be considered like nizke gufay, because he should have watched it, so it's something that his own body had caused the damage, emaloi. Maybe there we would say that wouldn't have the leniency, and rather the mazik would have to take the nevela and give back a brand new shirt to the nizik. Therefore, tzricha, that's what we have to say, all three sources to teach us this halacha, that is always going to be by the metabolim and nevela, the nizik has to hold on to the carcass, whatever value it is, and the mazik only has to pay up the rest. Now, however, on this halacha, the Gemara wonders, Amalei Rav Kahana l'Rav, at the time of the kasa rachmana of Mesi Eloi. So what are you telling me? It's only because the Torah wrote v'hamesi Eloi that's why the Baal Mamatabal b'nevela holahav hachi, but if not for this pasuk, havamina, I would have thought to say, nevela the mazik havi. Like you're saying, then I would have thought that shur tachas a shur, he has to give him a brand new shur, and then the mazik has to go ahead and take the nevela. Ask the Gemara, hashta I islay lididei, but go ahead and imagine if, let's say, the mazik had, let's say he's in the nevela business. He goes and he collects dead animal carcasses. So let's say he had common trafas, a lot of trafas of these types of animals, which would be equal to the amount of damage that his ox caused to that other person's ox. Yohavle, he would be able to give to the nizik, even if he doesn't want, to pay up the damages that he caused to his ox. Because the Amamar, the master, said, as we quoted this before, says in the Pasuk, the word Yashiv that he could return, which is L'rabishov HaKesav HaFilosubim, which means to say that the mazik could pay up to the nizik anything that's metaltlin, that's movable items, anything, not even money, but anything that's even worth money, even something like bran. So do you need to say that the nizik's own nevela, that he could give that to him as payment? So the Gemara says, I don't even understand the halach in the first place. What does this mean, b'al metaltlin nevela? What does that mean? Even if, let's say, you said not. So what did you say? So the mazik wouldn't be able to give him and pay the rest? Even if he has his own nevelas, he could use it to pay up. So when it's the nizik's already, he can't say, hold on to it, because if I had it myself, I'd be able to give it to you anyway. I could give you anything worth money. A nevela is worth money. You could do some stuff with it. So why are you saying that you need to say halacha b'al matam nevela? What's the chiddush in that? Of course he could always pay up with nevelas. So I think Mar says, lo nitzrucha, know what it was necessary for. Why do we need a pasuk to say that the nizik is matapal b'nevela, that we consider it his? Like, let's say it's $200 worth, and then the mazik only has to pay up the other $800. He could pay up the other $800 with nevelas too. El lefchas nevela. The necessity of this chiddush was for the depreciation of the nevela. In other words, the Torah is telling you, from the moment of death, when his ox gored his fellow's ox, that nevela is owned by the nizik. Now, the relevancy of this is, of let's say from that point on, once an animal starts dying, starts decomposing, and starts depreciating in value by the hour, by the day, So if from the moment that it died until they finally finished their court case to make the mazik liable for the damages that the ox did to that other person's ox, that loss, that lack of value was at the time of death, the nevela was worth 200. If he would have sold the right then, he would have gotten 200. By the time they brought him to court and they finished the guilty verdict, you have to pay for the damages, the nevela was only worth $100 already. That loss is the nizik's loss. And the mazik only has to pay up 800, not 900, because that difference was the difference of the nizik, because at the moment of death, that is considered the nizik. That's the chiddush. Because regarding payment, of course he could pay up nevela. But that would only be at the time of the court case when it's finally completed. He'd say, okay, you're right, so it's shartach, I got to pay you the whole damages, $1,000. But here, I'm going to give you your nevela as part of the damages. Then, at that point, it would only be worth $100. He would have to then compensate the rest, $900. But here, what the pasuk is telling you is that, no, v'amesi yaloi, right away from the moment of death, it's the nizik. It's worth $200. Then I don't care how much it's going down. That's your own responsibility. I have to only go ahead and compensate the remaining 800.